Very good afternoon, and I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The meaning of the name church is to be called out. That is the literal meaning of the Greek word for church. And it describes a people who is separated from the world. They are called out from the world. And the church is similar to the nation of Israel in this way, where they are to be distinct from the world, separated from the world. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was also a called out people. Well, in many ways, when you look at the Exodus account, you see how the Lord was the one who led them and who called them out of Egypt. But even as they were called out, they were to remain a distinct, separated group of people that is unlike the rest of the nations of the world. And so how would you distinguish Israel as the people of God? How would you distinguish the church as the people of God from the rest of the nations or the rest of the world? And one way in which the Lord has ordained to keep Israel distinct from the world or the rest of the nations was through the observing of the Sabbath day, through the keeping of the Sabbath day. Now, the Lord has also given them other laws that would help them to be distinct, so that the rest of the world can see that these people are different. For example, the laws concerning the clean animals and the unclean animals. This concerns the food that they can eat and the food that they are not supposed to eat. And so this was the law which the Lord gave to the children of Israel, and it served various purposes, one of which would be where they are no longer able to enter into an agreement with people of heathen nations. Because oftentimes in those days, when they want to seal an agreement, they will do so through a meal. And when they seal that agreement, they will have that meal together. And so because of this law, it would prevent them from entering into that agreement. But another purpose that this law would serve is that it would keep the nation of Israel distinct. They are separated people. And similarly, for the Sabbath day, this law which God has given to them was a law that would keep them distinct, to show the world that they are different from the world, to show the world that they are a separated people unlike the rest of the world. When the rest of the world may be in their employment, fulfilling their jobs or their own responsibilities or their own work, when the rest of the world is in recreation, God's people, God's church, has to set themselves apart, distinct. When now the Bible tells us that this day is to be dedicated, this day is to be given unto the Lord. And that was the lesson that the Lord had to teach them, even in this account of the manna. Now remember that in this account over here, the Ten Commandments were not given yet. Right, so this was even before the Ten Commandments was instituted, where the Lord already wanted them to understand this principle of how this day is to be given unto the Lord, and that would set them apart from the rest of the people of the world. Now we know that even all the way in creation, the Lord has already designed it such that this day would be a special day. We know that God does not need to rest in creation, but God deliberately chose to rest. It was not because of any lack of His power or because of exhaustion, but the Lord wanted to set a pattern for the rest of time. And He set that pattern by resting on the Sabbath day. And of course, for the people of the world who do not know God, who do not acknowledge God, who do not worship God, they would not understand this principle of rest, and they would not understand where this origin of rest would come from. And that's why for the people of the world, many of them would work, and even when they rest, they are not rest in a way where they worship God. They are just resting from work. It would be no different from a Saturday. right? Like in today's culture, in Singapore at least, it's a 5-day work week. We operate on a 5-day work week. And to them, the rest on the Saturday is no different from the rest on the Sunday. In some cultures, in some countries, they are now also moving to a 4-day work week. Right, when I was in Australia, this was what some of the members shared, that in their company, they are already operating on a 4-day work week. So they will have 3 days of rest. And so the rest of the Sabbath, they won't of course call it the Sabbath, but the rest on the Sunday is no different to the rest on the Saturday and no different from the rest of the Friday. But for us, it is different. God has set this pattern. But our focus, our attention is upon the Lord who has given us this pattern. And even before the Ten Commandments was instituted, the children of Israel had to learn this lesson. Now in the previous passage, the lesson that the children of Israel had to learn was how God supplied day by day in the giving of manna. Right? I mean, there are many lessons that you can learn there. You see the lessons of God's provision, right? The lesson of God's care. But you also see how the Lord provided day by day. Right, where if you go back earlier to verse 19, where the Bible says here, Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning, that they are supposed to collect one omer. Right? Each one is supposed to collect one omer, and they are not supposed to leave anything to the next day. Right? Some may say that, I do not want to collect tomorrow, so can I leave some for the next day? But the Bible tells us that no, because what will happen is that if you leave it to the next day, it will breed worms and it will stink. That's in verse 20. And this is a lesson where the Lord had to teach them to live day by day. You have to work hard every day. That was a lesson of diligence. You cannot be lazy and say, this morning I do not want to go out. I will just take what I have collected last night or yesterday. I cannot just eat what I had yesterday. Because by this morning, what was collected yesterday would stink. And that was what happens. Notwithstanding, the Bible says some of them hearken not. They were just disobedient. And then it bred worms and it stank. But that was a lesson to be diligent for the 6 days of the week. Work hard. Live day by day. Trust that the Lord will provide for each day's needs. But then, in this miracle, and it is a miracle, because there's no other way to explain this. How is it that the manna for every day, every normal day, if you were to leave it till the next day, it would stink. But yet, on the Sabbath day, it's a miracle. If you leave it for the Sabbath day, it will not stink. And this is now where the Lord wanted them to learn the important lessons concerning the Sabbath day. And this is also the same lessons that we have to learn. To understand the significance of the Sabbath day. Every day of the week, you work hard, you're diligent, and you learn to live day by day. But concerning the Sabbath, what is the lesson that we have to learn? Now, there are three things over here that you will see. Firstly, from verse 22 to 24, when you remember the Sabbath day, you are remembering God's provision. You're remembering how God will supply, how God will provide, how God will take care of you. So you look at this in verse 22 to 24. Now, you know, one thing I want to mention on the onset is that in the next few verses, right, there will be thoughts that will overlap each other. Okay, so I can just state on the onset, right, the main points over here. And you will see that these three main points would overlap each other. But nevertheless, each section will have its emphasis. Okay? That the three main thoughts here would be on remembering God's provision. When you remember the Sabbath day, you remember God's provision. When you remember the Sabbath day, you remember obedience. And when you remember the Sabbath day, you remember trust. You remember faith. It's a lesson on faith. And there's an overlapping of thoughts because when you see God's provision, is also a lesson on faith. You are trusting that the Lord will provide. You are trusting that the Lord will supply according to His word, according to His faithfulness. And that was what the people had to remember. Now you see this here first in verse 22 to 24. how the Lord promised that He will provide. It came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and sieve that ye will sieve, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And so this is a miracle. For every other day, if you were to keep it till the next day, it will rot, it will spoil. But when you keep it on the Friday for the Sabbath day, which would be in that time, the Saturday, then it will not stink, it will not spoil. Now this is a lesson for us, that when the Lord prescribes His commandments, His laws, it will not be in such a way where it will be so overwhelming. As the Lord prescribed this law for them, now the law will be instituted later on, but they are now learning this lesson through experience. As the Lord gave them this law, the Lord also says, I will provide for you. You keep the Sabbath day, you honor me on the Sabbath day, I will provide for you, I will take care of you, even through very unexpected ways. You don't have to worry. The Lord says that He will take care of them. And this is one thing to remember with regard to the laws and the commandments of God. When God gives us His laws and His commandments, it will never be too overwhelming or too burdensome for us. It's always a test of faith. But this test of faith will never be to the point where we will feel so overwhelmed by it that we are crushed by it. God knows the measure of our faith. And even in all these tests, the Lord says He will provide. See, one verse that I'd like you to look at, you know, that reminds us of the nature of God's commands or God's laws. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24, the Bible says here, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. Now this is of course in Deuteronomy, this is concerning a second giving of the law. But look at what the Bible says here with regard to the giving of the law. Right, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Now the Bible says that God's laws, which has been given, will always be for our good. And this means that God will not test us or try us beyond what we can bear. That even with each trial or testing, it's going to be good for us. It's going to strengthen our faith. It's going to teach us many wonderful experiences. There's no greater experience, or there's no greater way or better way to learn the lessons of faith and to learn the truth of God's faithfulness than by experience. Right? How is a relationship enjoyed? Even when you look at the relationship between friends or husbands and wives, relationships amongst people, how do we learn of each other, know more about each other? It is not where, you know, you ask one person or each person to maybe fill up a form to describe yourself. Right? If you think that if you were to do this exercise, you would learn more and more about each other, do you think it's an effective way? If I were to ask you to just fill up a form, describe yourself, your habits, your likes, your dislikes, and then now, doing this exercise, you exchange notes with one another, do you think that this is how you would build that relationship? How you would learn more about yourself? No, it's by experience. It's by relating with one another. It's by going through the daily trials together. It's by communicating and then making mistakes. And through all these misunderstandings, that you learn more and more about each other. And this is also how we must learn more concerning our God. Right? It's through the experiencing of His faithfulness, experiencing of His provision. And the Bible says that His laws are always given for our good. And that's why it must be experienced. And even through this experience, the Bible says that God will provide. Now, there are a few things that you can observe from verse 22 to 24. The Lord told them, right, this is what Moses said. So the Lord said through Moses in verse 23, the Bible says, tomorrow is the rest of the holy day. God has provided this day of rest. When we think of the Sabbath day as God's provision, we're not just thinking about how God will supply and take care of us if we do not work on the Sabbath day. We're also thinking about how God has provided this day of rest for us. Tomorrow is the rest. It's the time where we can now rest from our labor, where we take our minds off the distractions of the world, where every day, every working day, our minds are just so filled with the thoughts and the demands of the world. What does my boss want me to do? What is this thing that I have to fulfill? You know, and that's what some have shared, right? Even during the pandemic, it made things worse. You know, if you were to ask some whether they like this home, working from home arrangement, or they prefer to go to the office. You know, some have shared that one of the disadvantages of this working home from home arrangement is that the lines now, the boundaries between work and private life, work and family, is just blurred. There's no very clear distinction. You know, in the past, they say that some of them, when they end work, they set a time. Once they leave office, they leave their work in office, and then they go home, they spend time with their families. But now, with this work from home arrangement, it's even harder to draw that line. Now, in the past, it's already hard, because some people do still bring work home. Right? So it's very hard to already make that distinction, to draw that line. And if you look at Singapore, it is true. People are burnt out. People are exhausted. And then the pandemic. You know, of course, there are multiple factors that has also led to that burnout. But one additional factor is now that line between work and private life, your own family life, is also blurred, because you not only bring home work, your work is in your home. Right? Your work is now in your home all the time. That's why from time to time when you hear news reports, I remember there's one account where there was this case of, you know, a toddler having blood, right, because of the toothbrush and in that choked this toddler, and then blood came out and things like that. And then later on, you know, the maid was initially accused for it, but the court did not find this maid negligent in the duty. But what was surprising to me was the mother was at home, right, in the news, because the mother was working from home. So the mother was home, she was there, but not there. So this is one of the disadvantages of, you know, this working from home arrangements. That's why some people, they say that actually they prefer to go back to the office. The line has been blurred. Now, some have even blurred that line into the Sabbath day as well. But God has actually provided us this rest, this day where you're supposed to take your mind off work. Take your mind off the distractions of the things of life. And rest by worshipping God. You see, there's a difference between God's rest, right? A rest which God has instituted, and just laziness, you know, or your own desire for your own kind of rest. Like, for example, I remember when I was in Australia. This was what one of the church members also shared, that, you know, in Australia, they have much better work-life balance, in a sense. Okay, where every day they end work earlier, you know, and that's why shops are, they will close shops earlier, right? Some of the shops will close like by 4 p.m., you know, and 5 p.m. And so sometimes when you go to some of what they call the shopping centers, right, it's a culture shock to us, because by 8 p.m., most of the things are already closed. Right, and then there's hardly any store left open in these shopping centers. And then they will have some special days, you know, where they were open for extended hour. But the usual time is where things are just closed earlier. Better work-life balance. But what do they use this time for? Right? If, let's say you have a four-day work week, you have a five-day work week, what do you use this so-called additional free time? It's not to focus on the things of God. It's not to worship. It's for them, is they have a lot of recreation, you know, they have a lot of fun and things that they play and they enjoy. But this is not the Sabbath. God has provided us this day so that when we take our mind off the things of this world, our minds, our thoughts are focused upon God. You see, if your mind is not focusing on one thing, that is the world, you need something else to keep your minds occupied, to keep your minds focused. And the Lord wants us to focus our minds, focus our thoughts upon God. It is the day of rest, and here you look at it very carefully. Moses said, it is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Right? So it's the day of rest that is enjoyed unto the Lord. So it's not just enjoyed for ourselves. This day of rest is a provision of rest unto the Lord, where we enjoy the Lord. Now you may say that, how can we reconcile this then with what the Bible says? The Sabbath was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. Right? If this day is to be enjoyed unto the Lord, yet the Bible also says that the Sabbath is made for men and not men for the Sabbath. So, how is the Sabbath day made for men if we are to enjoy it unto the Lord? Now, you think about it. Isn't enjoying the Sabbath day and enjoying the Lord what we need, what man needs? Enjoying the Sabbath day unto the Lord is the truest, the purest enjoyment of the Sabbath day. If you enjoy rest without God, do you think that that is truly restful? I mean, there are some people who can, you know, go for holidays and go for spas, right? I mean, their minds are troubled. They are so burdened by work. And then they try to take their mind off these things. They go to find some things, some sports, some recreation, to take their mind off these things. Go for a spa, go for a holiday. But when they come back, are they really refreshed? Refreshed spiritually? Refreshed in the hearts? Refreshed in the minds? They may be rested bodily, but they're not truly refreshed. And enjoying the Lord is the only way we can be refreshed. And that's why, you know, there are some who will share, oh, for the Christian, actually the Sabbath day is quite physically exhausting. You know, some, they go for worship in the morning, and then after that they have various areas of service. Some will attend Bible studies, and then after that they'll close the day with an evening worship. And so, physically, they do feel tired. Right? This is just a limitation of the human body. But yet, spiritually, they are refreshed. And some of the burdens, some of the cares of the world, some of the trials, some of the worries, they experience how the Word of God would answer these things, how the Word of God provides comfort, and how the fellowship of saints will lift them up. But yes, physically they may feel tired, but it's so meaningful in that experience. And this is rest. And that's why the Bible says the Sabbath day is made for men. For men to enjoy this day unto the Lord. Because there's no true enjoyment if the enjoyment is not in the Lord. But when you enjoy this day in the Lord, when you worship the Lord, when you praise Him, when you just take your mind off the world, and now you think upon the glory of God, the greatness of God, the love of God, and you sing praises to Him, and then you enjoy fellowship and communion with the saints, is that not true rest? See, rest is not where we are just idle, doing nothing. Right? Just relaxing somewhere. Rest is when we are enjoying this sweet communion with God, where we know His presence is so close to us. When we are learning from His Word, when we are hearing His voice speaking to us, that is rest. That's why the Bible says, this tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. It is also the day that God has provided, that is separated, that is distinct, that's unto the Lord. Now, that's the meaning of the word holy. Right? The holy Sabbath. It means that it is separated, it's distinct. It's a day that is different from every other day. Because every other day, we have to toil, we have to labor, we have to work. But this day, now God says, you enjoy it unto the Lord. Is this not learning of how God provides, of how God supplies, even to enjoy this day of rest? But together with this, there's another important lesson that we have to learn. And that is the lesson of obedience. Now from verse 25, the Bible then says, and they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. That's still part of verse 24, you know, where the Lord provided. And when through this miracle, the manna will not stink, even though they left it till the next day. That is the Sabbath day. Right? So that's the Lord's provision, even on the Sabbath day. Now, we are going to expand on this together with the lesson on trust. Okay? Because you will see how on the Sabbath day, it's really an exercise of faith. That when you give up your work on this day, right, when you do not allow yourself to be distracted, and for students, you commit unto the Lord, you say that even in my studies, I will honor the Sabbath day. When you honor the Lord, you will see how the Lord will provide, even through very unexpected means. Okay? But that also is seen in the lesson of trust. But now from verse 25 to 28, this is a lesson of obedience. Now you look over here, what has happened? So the Bible says, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. So the previous day, they are supposed to collect the manna. They can bake it. They can also seethe it. Now the word seethe means to boil it. Okay, so again, we have explained that, you know, this manna is very unique. You can do many things with it. Right? You can use very creative ways to prepare your meals with it. Okay? So do not think that it's something that you will grow tired of. You can either bake it, you can seed it, you can do many things with it. You can prepare it. But let all your preparation be done the day before. And then now on the Sabbath day, you eat what you have found in the field, which was double the amount. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the Sabbath, you will not find it in the field. Now, what has happened over here in verse 27 and 28? It came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for together, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, what is the Sabbath day really also about? Where is we have to learn obedience. I mean, it's a strange thing, right? The people of Israel. When the Lord told them to go out every day for the first 6 days of the week, some of them would choose to keep double and leave it till the next day. And then they realized that it has rotted. Strange people just would not listen. The Lord told them, don't go out there. You have to collect every day, right? Don't be lazy. You have to go out every day to collect for each day's need. Yet some of them will keep it to the next day. And then the Lord now told them on the sixth day that on the Sabbath, you must not go out. So on the sixth day, you collect double. But some of them, on the Sabbath, that's the seventh day, they would still go out and collect. Strange people. Why is it that they want to just do the opposite of what the Lord has told them to do? Is it that the instructions are not clear? Is it that the commands are not clear? Or is it just that sense that this is not so serious? Or the sense that it's not so important? And I wonder that is this the same kind of attitude that we have to the Sabbath day? Now, is this the kind of attitude that we have towards the Word of God? Now, why is it that some people just are so disobedient, so stubborn towards the Word of God? What is the excuse that some would give? You know, each time we keep the Sabbath day, we are learning the lesson of obedience. But there's a very dangerous feeling today, where some people think or seem to think that the Sabbath day is not as serious or not as important a commandment as the other commandments of God. What is your attitude towards the Sabbath? Now, this month of December is a time, is a season where many are traveling and many are planning to travel. So what is your attitude towards the Sabbath when you think of traveling? Now, there's nothing wrong in traveling in itself, per se, and even over the weekend. But it's just a question of what is your attitude towards the Sabbath? Would you plan your travels around your Sabbath day? Or would you plan the Sabbath day around your traveling? You may say, what's the difference? But it's a big difference because it speaks of who God is in your life. Who God is in your heart. Who is it that you really would give the first place? Would you plan your traveling around the Sabbath day such that you say that I must worship the Lord on this day, and then my own traveling plans and itinerary would be surrounding this day? Or would you say that I want to do this on these activities on this day first and things, then I'll try to squeeze in some form of worship on the Sabbath day for the Lord, just to ease my conscience? What is the excuse that you will give? I remember recently speaking to one youth about this very same issue. Because this person was planning for something with regard to which will cause this person to not be able to honor the Sabbath day. As I was trying to explain to this person just said plainly, somehow the sense that what this person has done is just not so serious. Not as serious as murder, for example. Right? Not as serious as adultery, for example. Not as serious as idolatry. Not as serious as taking the name of God in vain. Somehow it's just in our minds that, you know, not honoring the Lord's day or the Lord on the Sabbath day is just something very small or insignificant. Is it that the Lord's commands or instructions to us are not clear? Now, some may say that, oh, it is not clear because they wonder, are we allowed to do this on the Sabbath? Can I do that on the Sabbath? Can I do this on the Sabbath? But you realize, oftentimes it's not about the commandments of God being unclear. It's really the attitude of your heart. If you approach the Word of God and the law of God with the attitude that I want to try to fulfill the barest minimum, right, what is the boundary? How far can I go? And to what point can I go where I will not cross this line? Then I will keep within that boundary. There are some who approach the Word of God and the laws of God in this way. They try to live as close to the edge as possible. They try to do the bare minimum. They want to push the boundary. But should that be the attitude that we have with regard to the commandments of God, to the Word of God, to the law of God? It's really, isn't it, obedience from the heart? When you understand the whole purpose of the Sabbath day, it is honoring the Lord. It's worshipping God. It's a Sabbath that is kept unto the Lord. It's a testimony where we are a distinct people
And then you must say, I want to keep this day from my heart. I want to enjoy this day from my heart. I want to worship the Lord from my heart. And if that's your attitude, then how would you keep the Sabbath day? Would it not be so different, you know, from how many have been keeping it today? What is your attitude towards the Sabbath day? It's a lesson on obedience. And obedience must never be grudging. You know, and obedience is not where we just, you know, keep it in the form, in terms of its form, but it's always in the heart. The keeping of the Sabbath day is an expression of submission and obedience. And why do we want to submit and obey? Because we are the people of God, and we do so cheerfully, we do so willingly, we do so lovingly. Remember that the commandments of God are for our good always. And this is a lesson of obedience. And then you see what the Bible continues to say from verse 29 to 31. It's also the remembering of faith. It's the lesson and the expression of faith. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath day. So here the Bible again restated, right? Moses was repeating again what happened. The Lord hath given you on the sixth day. Right? So this is the Lord's provision. But what is the lesson here? You must trust the Lord that every sixth day, the Lord is going to provide. The Lord has promised. The Lord is going to provide sufficient for the Sabbath. You have to trust the Lord that the Lord will provide, and you will have enough to eat on the Sabbath. Now it's interesting that the Lord here taught them this principle of obedience and this lesson of faith through food. Because we are people who are very practical. We want to satisfy our hunger. Very basic need, very basic means of survival. And this is not the first time you will see, right, how the children of Israel will complain because of food or water. Right? We have seen that the previous time when they were at Marah. Okay? And then later the Lord provided for them when they went to Elim. But when they went into the wilderness, they struggled with the need for food and water. And this is not the only time. There will be many other times which you will see where they will struggle with food, provision, hunger. It's a very real thing to feel hunger and just to want to satisfy that hunger. We will say that it's a very basic thing for a human being to survive. But can we trust the Lord that the Lord will provide even for these things? See, when some struggle with obeying God with regard to the Sabbath, they have very real fears. Right, for some adults, I know of some who have shared that is one of the struggles during certain climate. Nowadays, they say that it's not so bad because, you know, in the workforce, right, in the work sector, it's more of an employee's market nowadays. But when you move towards an employer's market, right, where the employer has the negotiating power, then you feel the stress. You may be expected or required to work on the Lord's Day or the Sabbath day. And if you say that you do not want to, it may affect your chance or the opportunities for you to get a job. And when you meet those circumstances, what would you say? What would you do? It's a real test, because maybe you have sent out. What if you have sent out so many applications, and then those that have replied you, those who have accepted the interview, they require you to work on the Sabbath? Can you say that I will reject this? Even if it is the only offer, if you have sent out 20, 30, and this is the only one that has responded, but it says that you have to work on the Sabbath, you will say that you will reject it. I mean, we know that God cannot contradict himself. Right? Do not say that, oh, if I've sent out 30 applications, and this is the only one which has responded, then it must be the will of God. Right? Because this is the only open door. But we know that God cannot contradict himself. Can you still say that I will not accept this if now, based on the terms, when I go for the interview, and then they tell me that I have to work on the Sabbath? Can you trust that the Lord will provide the right job, but you just have to patiently wait? But then you say that I've been unemployed for 6 months. I've already been unemployed for so long. How I do not have a job soon. My savings is going to be depleted. How am I going to provide for my family? And this is the only offer. During such times, what would you do? Can you trust the Lord that you say, no, I will honor the Lord and I will wait for the right job. I'll wait for the right time and I know that the Lord will provide. Now that will be the real struggle for adults. Very, very real need. But it's when the test is real, where you can see whether a person has true expression of faith. For students, it is the same. Right? The students will be your exams. Exams or projects or assignments due now on the Monday. Right? And you say that you have tried your best to finish as early as possible. But then now it's a Sabbath day. Then you're in a dilemma. Can I just skip this class? No, can I just skip Sunset Gospel Hour when I would usually go, but then tomorrow is an exception. Can I just skip? Why is Sunset Gospel Hour important for the believer? Because remember, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, not the Sabbath morning. For truth, not just the Sabbath afternoon. It's the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so, do not use the Sabbath day when you say you have tuition. Oh, this very famous tuition teacher only teaches on the Sunday. I have to send my child to this tuition teacher, or this lesson is only available on the Sunday. And that's why it's a real struggle. I know very realistically and practically, you know, for some, when you want to become an athlete, for example, realistically, it's very hard in Singapore. Why? One of the reasons is because a lot of these competitions, a lot of these trainings will take place on the Sunday. Right? Even a lot of these games will take place on the Sunday. I mean, like sporting events and things like that. And so if you want to pursue that path and you say, no, I cannot, the Sunday, the Sabbath day, for the Christian, the Sunday is where I will honor the Lord. You will miss out on the place. You may be one of the best sportsmen, but you will lose out on that place, the opportunity. They will give it to someone else. Then what would you say? Then even for your studies, you say that, you know, they have one additional day to study, but you will fall behind. Now, that's not to say that having fulfilled, you know, the day unto the Lord, this Sabbath day, having honored the day unto the Lord, it's not to say that at the end of the day, right, that you cannot study, but that's where you know that you have already honored the Lord through this day. But now we are talking about those whose heart is already distracted, where on the day itself, you just cannot trust the Lord to know that the Lord will take care of you. Recently, this was what one youth shared. And I'm very much encouraged by this testimony, because it was a lesson learned, but later the youth also shared how she learned the lesson of faith through it. She shared that there was an exam that was coming up. I think it was like a Tuesday or something. And through the rest of the previous week, she has really prepared, you know, her best, studied for it. But, you know, with regard to exam and studying, you will never feel that it's enough. How much is enough? Right? You can study until the very last moment of exam, and you will still feel that it's not enough. You can just revise it through one more time. There's never an end to it.
And so, on the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, she shared that there's this wrestling match within her heart. Should she study or not? Should she study or not? She said that on that occasion, she succumbed. She has decided to open a textbook, spend a few hours studying that particular subject. See, the exam came, and no question came out from all that she had studied on the Sabbath day. So not one question in her exam paper was based on anything that she had studied on the Sabbath day. And she said that that was a very humbling experience. You know, why did the Lord have to teach her the experience through that? But we thank the Lord that the Lord had to teach her the experience through that. You spend so many hours studying and not one single question came out from what you have studied on the Sabbath day. Coincidence? Of course, I don't believe so. She said that through that, you know, she learned how the Lord can actually provide and how the Lord can actually sustain. And so another opportunity came. Now, the same experience, what would she do? And thank God, this next time she remembered the lesson. And she chose to worship the Lord, to honor the Lord, to serve, instead of spending that time studying on the Sabbath day. And this is where her faith has also strengthened, where she sees the Lord's hand. Students, you must remember, your memory is from the Lord. Right? You can study so much, but will you be able to remember? You have to remember that exams are not everything. There's always a real test behind the test. Right? So what if you do well, you get A's? The test behind the test is the real test. The test of faith, the test of obedience, the test of trust. And then it's also how we must understand the Sabbath day. The Lord wants us to learn this lesson of faith and to know that He will provide. Each time we keep the Sabbath day, we are learning this lesson of trust. And that's what the children of Israel had to learn. The Lord has given you the Sabbath, and He will provide. This is His promise. Will you remember this lesson of trust? So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember that this is the day that the Lord has given to keep us distinct. We are separated people. This is a day that you keep unto the Lord. Remember that the Lord will provide. God is going to show His faithfulness even as you obey the Lord in keeping the Sabbath day. Remember obedience when you keep the Sabbath day. Don't negotiate, but obey willingly from the heart, because the commandments of God are for our good always. Remember the lesson of trust, that as the Lord has promised, so He will fulfill. Now we will end and conclude today with verse 31. Okay, I know I mentioned in the reading from verse 32, but from verse 32 to 36 is now where this whole account of the manna, the incident, is going to be a testimony of God's goodness, of God's provision. Okay, and we'll leave that to the next time. But from verse 22 to 31, this lesson of the Sabbath day. We are a people who is distinct, who is different from the world. And let our obedience of the Lord on the Sabbath day be a testimony that we are the people of God. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank Thee that Thou art our God and Thou hast called us Thy people. And as Thou hast chosen us to be Thy people, so Thou hast also required of us that we would keep this day, one day out of seven, separated, holy, consecrated unto thee. O Father, may thou help us to understand the importance and the significance of the Sabbath day. How this is a day of rest. It's a day of thy promise. It's a day of worship. It's a day of faith. It's a day where we witness thy providing and thy supplying. So, O Father, we pray that thou wilt forgive us if in any way we have not obeyed thee in keeping the Sabbath, where we have allowed our worries, our cares, our distractions of work, or the distractions of studies, to even cause us to disobey thee in dishonoring the Sabbath day. We ask, O Lord, that thou wilt forgive us. But may thou truly help us to keep this day holy, to keep this day in worship, that we might even enjoy the blessedness of thy provision, of the experience of faith, and also of sweet communion with thee. How we thank thee that this Christian walk and this Christian life is such an exciting life. And we know that all thy commandments are given for our good always. We want to thank thee again that this afternoon we can gather to worship thee. And we thank thee for even how now out of the pandemic we are able to worship thee in person. Remember those times where because of the pandemic, with all the restrictions, we were not able to worship thee as we wanted to. But how, O Lord, thou hast provided this means for us, and thou hast been so merciful for us. So help us to never take the worship of thee on the Sabbath day for granted. We thank thee that we can experience and enjoy communion with thee and even the gathering of the saints. We thank thee for thy goodness and thy faithfulness, and we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.